get their vaccine and heard their experience and their thoughts on the COVID vaccine. So that kind of made me change my mind. I actually didn't get sick, but I did have a sore arm. I did have some body aches and I was really tired. Yeah, I would definitely still encourage you to get the vaccine. It really passed my expectations. It was a very positive experience.
That's right. It's a positive experience. You'll feel great afterwards. It's 6 o'clock. It's WUSB Stony Brook. It's time for Off the Wall. Pleasant evening to everybody out there. It's Emmanuel here, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Oh, great. I can hear you as well.
Good. I don't know if anybody else can hear us, but we can hear each other. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I was just enjoying the theme there.
theme is good, but you know, we can enjoy this anytime we want.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, it was a storm. There was rainfall.
Oh, please, please, Kyle.
There was at least, I think, a tree that fell somewhere.
Yeah, there was a tree that fell somewhere, but nobody heard it, right? And another thing, this Henri, okay? I'm sorry, anyone named Henri, I don't respect you anymore after this farce. Yeah, I know some people got some rain, some wind. We didn't. It was like being in the eye of a hurricane for 6 hours. Maybe we were. Maybe it was just spinning around, but nothing happened.
It wasn't supposed to end that way. It was this direct path, inevitable. All of Long Island was going to be thrown into the dark ages Dark, I mean, no power, no light, no nothing. There was a fuel panic. There was long lines out into the roadways of people stocking up on everything.
You know, we don't usually talk about the competition on the air, but there's another radio station, WSHU in Connecticut. Those swine. They're an NPR station, and they purport to cover Long Island. They had a big headline on their webpage saying that Henri is headed straight for New England. And you saw the map, and Long Island was right in the crosshairs, because Long Island is right below New England.
They weren't even, like, saying caution, speed bump.
Didn't even mention Long Island. Yeah, so when it comes to Long Island issues, perhaps you'd best remain on 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM when other stations interfere with 90.1 FM. We were out at a local coffee shop when all these EAS alerts started coming across everyone's phone at the same time. But here's what's weird about that. That was on Friday, okay? And the storm was supposed to hit on Sunday. I don't know what's going on in EAS land, but people were being issued alerts that expired later that evening for a hurricane that wasn't going to arrive for another 2 days. And then on Saturday, I didn't get any EAS alert. And Sunday was quiet as well, even though that's when the storm was hitting us. Purportedly hitting us. So, yes, it's kind of wacky right now. I know we had a couple of alerts go out over our airwaves because we serve Long Island. But overall, bit of a disappointment. However, I will say that that concert in New York City, the one that was supposedly to prove that we're back and everybody is out again. Yeah, they say between the hours of 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. on Saturday, right when the concert was supposed to be in its, you know, strongest point, I guess, they have never measured more rain at Central Park in 1 hour in their history than during that hour. And if that's not a comment from Mother Nature saying, you're not out yet. I don't want you outside. I don't want you hanging out with mobs of people. No, go back indoors. Yeah, so for that, and that was just the outskirts of Henri. Somehow the east of us and west of us got a whole lot of rain, and we didn't really get that much here. So I guess we were kind of in the eye of the thing.
But it was a good test run for later in this hurricane season.
Would you say we dodged a bullet?
I wouldn't dare, the way you're standing up with the clenched fists.
Don't
like
say that to me. Don't ever say we dodged a bullet when it's a storm that you know I'm looking forward to. I've heard it so many times with hurricanes and tropical storms and blizzards. Oh, yeah, we dodged a bullet. We get to live our normal, boring lives for another day. No. We get weather here, and I appreciate weather. And, you know, we know how to take care of ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can, of course, always tune to WSB Stony Brook for the latest weather information. And, that was quite a recap of what some people were calling Henri. Yeah.
Spelled with an I. But, you know, we went out east on Saturday. That was kind of cool because we saw people were preparing out there.
Truly, yeah. Beautiful moments. Just clear skies, people really just getting away. And I think there's probably a lot of people at the beach and enjoying that kind of weather and out at various parks.
I don't think you're supposed to go swimming right before a storm, though. I think there's you know, riptides and things like that. So if they were out enjoying the beach, they should be enjoying the sand and the hot dogs and things like that, but not necessarily the water for future storm reference.
Yeah, I think you can safely walk like right where the waves are breaking at the beach there and going in and out, you know. That's always, I think, okay. But yeah, the swimming and stuff right before storm, probably a really bad idea. But no, there's like so much activity. Many people just trying to get their vacation in. Of course, August is a season of that last bit of summer break. And school is starting. There's a lot of people that are actually back in school.
That's right. That's right. Stony Brook students are coming back.
Absolutely. Yep. You have all kinds of activity.
You all got to be vaccinated, by the way. In fact, everybody on campus got to be vaccinated. Isn't that right?
Isn't that so? Yes. There is some changing guidelines with the recent FDA approval of one of the vaccinations. There have been a bunch of policies that have been updated to reflect that is an approved treatment for this pandemic and will be essential.
Was approved. It was approved by the FDA. Okay, so all you right-wingers out there and, you know, talk show fanatics and politicians that have been saying, oh, it's an experimental treatment and it's not safe and you're going to turn into a baboon if you get this shot, that it's all experimentation and mind control and Illuminati, everything you could possibly think of. Their biggest argument was, it's not approved by the FDA. It's not approved by the FDA. Not approved. You know, over and over. That was their mantra. Okay. So now it's been approved. Do you think they're going to say, okay, well, now it's fine? No, of course not. They're going to say, well, that doesn't count. Or, well, yeah, but it doesn't address this. Or this expert over here in this particular part of the forest says this. They never will stop. They will, of course, they'll vaccinate themselves, but they will continuously try and convince you that there's some kind of plot afoot. It's all about the ratings. It's all about the attention that they get for doing this. Let's not give them the attention. Let's not give them the ability to control our lives and make our friends and family sick just so they can profit somehow, because that is what this is all about. There's no science. There's no science involved in this. Sure, you might get, you know, a doctor of philosophy or something to agree with you. Doesn't mean that it's medically sanctioned, whatever it is that they say. Listen to the people that work in the field. Listen to the people that have the experience. And that's really all you need to do.
I just realized when you were talking about that, the sort of paradox with homeopathic and natural remedies that are also generally, in most cases, supplements, not often approved by the FDA,
mm-hmm.
Is sort of a funny thing when you think about the kinds of screeching and alternative volleying of various things. Speaking of which, this like ivermectin, this other medications that have been purported to do something are causing side effects. There are some stories about that have been I think in some of the data and some of the studies about its use, these alternative medicines that were being pumped as treatments and
that
stuff.
That bastard Fauci is trying to kill us, is what you're saying. That's what he's pushing.
No. It's the stuff that has not been found effective.
So he's not saying to take the stuff that will cause side effects and ultimate harm. That's somebody else doing that. Who could it be? Well, we have to be very careful about what we inject into ourselves or take based on nothing and listen to the people who know what they're talking about.
Yes, it's true. And of course, with schools, there's already cases that are coming about in schools and kids are being affected at higher rates with this variant and so forth. So it's urgent to help people out if they need to get more information about it or need a ride or something like that. Take care of yourself and your family. Be aware of what's going on in the area as far as people spreading this stuff.
Now, there is debate in the scientific community. There's virtually no debate in the scientific community about the efficacy of the vaccine itself. But there is debate as far as the booster shots. Some scientists, some doctors think that it is something that's necessary at this point, or and some say that no, we don't. We need to vaccinate the rest of the world first before we get to that point. So if you're looking for a debate in the scientific community, there it is, right there. Yes, they do debate sometimes. They are in disagreement. So that's going to be interesting to see that. But as far as taking the vaccine itself, it's practically unanimous that that is the only way to really protect yourself. Now, we're seeing so many breakthrough cases. I think we're seeing more breakthrough cases than we expected. And that's most likely because of the Delta variant. And God help us, Epsilon variant and Omega, and whatever else lies ahead in the Greek alphabet. It's weird, isn't it? We're going to have hurricanes and variants named after letters in the Greek alphabet. We need more systems. Those new variants may completely bypass the vaccine. But the only way that happens is if there are enough people who are unvaccinated to be affected by it. You know, if everybody, I know this is fantasy, but if everybody had gotten the vaccine right away when it was available to them, and we were at like 90% or above, we wouldn't be talking about the Delta variant because there would be so few people that would have been affected by it, it would have quickly petered out. And that's the tragedy of all this. Yes, I know other parts of the world would still have been affected. Best case scenario, the whole world gets the vaccine, and that's what we really need to be shooting for.
Yeah, I think continuing the vaccination program at a good pace with the at least a first dose for individuals, along with the policy changes and the approval, I think will occur simultaneously with getting it to parts of the world that do not have access and desperately need it. I think that's going to be simultaneous. And the boosters can also, I think, fit in here. But the strategy, I think, will have to reflect the need elsewhere in the world in much the same way we did the first doses of the vaccine, is basically getting it to the most vulnerable first, who need that booster. I know people are already getting it, their third shot. But the general population in the fall, I believe, will be approved for that. And they'll either have some kind of scheme to sign up for it. Who knows? More details later. As you said, it's being looked at intensively and prepared for. So that, until then, is something that we need to be kind of mindful of in the back of our minds.
Yeah, but you know, even if that's rolled out and a large number of people get it, if a significant amount still have refused to get the vaccine, it's going to be difficult.
Well, that's why I say simultaneously. Like the first doses for people, like with policy and approval, will move along as various institutions and including the hospital here on campus and the campus generally. Those guidelines for staff and volunteers will, I think, create another wave of people that are taking a look at this, saying, you know what, the outcomes and risks that this poses to me with more transmissibility and side effects, is, you know, with many people trying to get on with their lives again and socialize and so forth without barriers and so on. It's all kind of going on at once. So it's certainly just, it's got to continue. It's got to be something that people don't let get away from them. And of course, don't let wild misinformation and lies take over and become some rickety form of truth, because it's wrong. The healthcare guidance stands, and your own doctor and your situation, those are the things you need to be concerned with, and your family, your immediate household, and exposure.
Well, that should be it right there. You know, your doctor, and you should have a doctor. You should have somebody that you go to that knows you fairly well. I can tell you, oh, this is bad. This wasn't here before, and you need to, you know, do something to improve your health. Someone who asks you what your diet is and has blood work done so that they can detect anything that's abnormal. That's the person to listen to. If that person starts saying, yeah, this is dangerous, don't get that, listen to them. Listen to them. And because they know what they're talking about. But if they say, you really should get this, it's for your own good, and you are much better off if you get this, get it. Get it, because they are the ones that know what they're talking about. And the fact that the FDA approved the vaccine yesterday, I hope that listeners to various radio stations and radio shows, even on this station, that might have been taken in by the whole it's only experimental thing, that now you are intelligent enough to be able to say, okay, it's approved, it's safe, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it now. And you will not regret it. You will not regret it. I might have sounded sarcastic on the top of the hour when I said that you'll feel good. You will feel good. I mean, maybe your arm will hurt for a day or two. That didn't bother me. Didn't bother me at all. I knew that it was working, that it was, you know, something was happening. There was a bit of a skirmish going on inside my system, kicking out potential bad things. And that I'd be stronger for it. And it so far, it's been working great.
But look, it's just amazing, though. There's been a rash of radio hosts who were against this stuff, who succumbed to this illness.
That, you know, that's something that is tragic. You know, seeing anyone fall to this, but especially people who are basically colleagues, people who are on the air like we are, but saying something that is not researched, that is not thought out, that is not scientifically based, and then becoming a victim of your own misinformation. That's tragic. Did not have to happen. And I also think about all the people that listened to them who met the same fate. What I don't get, what I can't wrap my head around, are the people who are currently in the hospital, currently facing death, literally facing death, still saying, not going to get the vaccine. What on God's name are you afraid of at this point? You're in the hospital. You know, ICU, tubes down your throat. But do you think taking the vaccine is going to somehow make that worse? This goes beyond COVID-19. This is some kind of hypnotic trance or cult behavior that people are succumbing to. And that needs to be studied and treated somehow.
Yeah, yeah. The former president got booed when he was talking about vaccinations because this thing has been basically, it's taken on a life of its own. It's out of control. He got a little bit of, rode on the coattails of this sort of confluence of conspiracy theories and became associated with it when he was leading. But now, just like the families of these radio hosts who are elated that they're the audience of the former radio hosts are now getting vaccinated because they realize that who they were listening to was wrong. Here's someone who was influencing a lot of people in the same way with the bully pulpit itself, trying to backpedal, and his audience won't even let him.
You know, of course, I enjoy every time Trump gets booed, but to see him get booed by his own supporters for saying something that actually makes sense, boy, that's something that I didn't really see coming. And you have to wonder, is he going to do it again? Is he never going to mention the topic again? I don't know what got him to finally say something, but I do know if he had said this a year ago, he wouldn't have gotten booed. You know, basically he helped build this up and now it's so strong that even he can't stop it.
I think there was a inverse sort of story about that too. I think Mo Brooks or one of the other Congress
people, don't get me started about Mo Brooks,
was trying to play on the don't get vaccinated thing. He got booed because I think it was so bad in whatever state they represented.
Wait, he got booed for saying don't get vaccinated?
Exactly. So it's going both ways. And then tried to backpedal on that. So there's a lot of interesting things, and that's actually sort of a hopeful thing because that's an audience saying, look, you can't play that anymore. We've got people in our community dying. So there's obstinance still, and then there's also I think a real change in perspective, and I hope there's a lot more of that, realization.
Maybe say it in language they can understand. Republicans, these are your voters. You know, they're the ones that are dropping dead as a result of this idiocy that you're promoting. So maybe think about that. But Mo Brooks, since you brought him up, you know, last week, did you hear the story about the guy who was threatening to blow up, what was it, the National Library or Smithsonian? So he had a truck and said he had a bomb.
Not 100% it was him. It was one of those guys. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I get them all mixed up.
Well, it was a guy who said he had a bomb in Washington, D.C.
No, the representative.
It wasn't Mo Brooks.
Right. No, no, no. Okay. No, okay. I know the guy that he went on this rant. He was like on social media and he was talking about like five different things.
I don't know what he was talking about. But the point is, this was a guy who threatened to blow something up. Mo Brooks was saying how he understood why people would want to do that in this day and age. Basically siding with domestic terrorism and saying that, yeah, you know, if you want to blow something up, I get it. I understand. That is not the way elected officials should be, ever. And we're seeing that constantly, you know, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and that's all the, I don't want to even list them. You know, the Lee Zeldins of the world, they're everywhere. And we have to do something about it.
Well, and this is not how a deliberative republic, you know, handles business, but mm-hmm. it's being encouraged and, you know, things like that are like almost permission. And that is wrong.
Right. Hey, we have some important news today. I guess it's late breaking news. First, I've got a slight bone to pick with you, Kyle, because when I went over to the printer to get the latest breaking news, which is what I do, that's one of my jobs here, you left the phone line plugged into the fax machine. Do you know what happens when you do that? Roofers, for some reason, send faxes. I don't know what's going on in the roofing industry, but look at this. This is in the last day. We've got Liberty Roofing and Blacktop, all I work, guess, 100% satisfaction guarantee, low price guarantee.
You know what it is? Fax machines have roofs.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, that's
if there's a fax machine somewhere, yeah, I know it's fascinating.
20% off while supplies last. What do you mean while supplies last? It's a roof. Okay. Cross Country Roofing, the flat roof specialist, National Roofing, commercial, industrial. Our work is fully guaranteed. What do we got here? Reputation built on quality work. Is their name Approved Roofing? That's their name, Approved Roofing. What a great name that is. Right Tech Roofing, flat roof specialist. We don't have a flat roof. Hello Roofing.
Hello.
We will beat any licensed contract. Wait a minute. Do you see this? We will beat any licensed contractor?
Any licensed.
No. They're not saying they'll beat their prices. They're saying they will beat the contractor.
Like beat them?
Yes, that's what it says right here. We will beat any licensed contractor. Save that number because there are a couple of licensed contractors that I've got some issues with.
These
guys could be handy. Okay. But yeah, please, you got to unplug the phone line. Otherwise, the roofers just, they line up. I don't know what it is about faxing and okay, we have a new governor. That's the news. Brand new governor. As of today. No more
Cuomo. Kathy Hochul,
yes.
Sorry, getting it down. I'm sorry, it's just an adjustment.
Right away, what our new governor has said is that masks are mandated for students and staff at schools throughout New York State. And also, she ordered mandatory COVID-19 vaccines for staff, just like that. Hochul said the moves were necessary to help bring under control the surging Delta variant. None of us want a rerun of last year's horrors with COVID-19, she said. I'm immediately directing the Department of Health to institute universal masking for anyone entering our schools. Yeah. Now, New York has made some progress in the fight against COVID-19, she said, but too many are yet not vaccinated, putting themselves and their communities at risk. Well, I like this. I like this a lot. Of course, our Representative Lee Zeldin does not like this. He opposes any vaccine mandate on educators and staff in the public school system. Let them decide for themselves whether or not they want the vaccine. That's our esteemed Representative Lee Zeldin.
Why?
You know, when you say things like that and you tell people it's perfectly okay if you don't get the vaccine. No, it's not okay, because then they wind up spreading the virus and people die. And those deaths are on your hands. No question about it. And this type of thinking is basically obsolete at this point. We've been through a year and a half of this nonsense. It's time for us to move on. So, yeah, already at loggerheads, of course, Lee Zeldin is running for governor, in case you forgot about that. Basically spending more time on the campaign trail than doing his job as a representative for the area. And the election isn't even until a year from this coming November.
He thinks he is.
No, he is. The Republicans actually are behind him. But it's a farce. It's really, it's kind of pathetic. But so we do have a new governor. Any thoughts?
Not yet. I'm basically hopeful that it will really accelerate some of the priorities for the state, basically bringing back some of the innovation and, you know, exciting development and programs, and really put the light on what's possible for New York and the whole area, interstate relationships and this very vital and vibrant area has suffered a lot. And I just know that a lot of those programs are going to employ people. They're going to get people inspired. And I think that this change is for absolutely the better, that she can implement this and really show what the state is capable of, what leadership is about, and really give opportunities and put others in front of her, I think, and mm-hmm. not be the so sharp with the elbows and like her predecessor. But she's intimately familiar with the details of the platform and what New York State is really after, and especially in light of how much tumult everyone has been through, and a lot of other states are looking to New York as a model. So I don't know. It's exciting, and I hope people are supportive. I hope that she gives an opportunity, you know, to really get going.
You hope people are supportive?
Yeah,
I
do.
You really hope that, huh? Well, people are not supportive. And let me tell you who is leading the pack. I hate to keep coming back to him, but for God's sake, he is our representative. There was a great letter in last week's Village Times, which is our local paper, from David Friedman of St. James. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Unlike two local Republican state senators quoted in the August 12th edition of this newspaper, Senators Anthony Palumbo, Republican of New Suffolk. Where's New Suffolk? There's a place called New Suffolk, and I don't know where it is, and I am in Suffolk County. Huh. And Mario Matera, Republican of St. James. Know where that is. U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, our Republican representative in New York District 1, doesn't even have the grace to offer a pro forma statement of goodwill and cooperation to Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, the incoming governor to replace Governor Andrew Cuomo. Instead, he plunges his rhetorical knife into her, inaccurately terming her Cuomo's lieutenant, and laughably accusing her of empowering Cuomo's disgusting behavior, being silent about scandal after scandal, and about Cuomo's rampant harassment, intimidation, bullying, and abuse. This is really rich, coming from somebody who's been silent from day one about the far more disgusting behavior of former President Donald Trump, Republican. If you want to talk about vile behavior towards women, Trump's right up there near the top. He even openly bragged about it. If you want to talk about harassment, intimidation, bullying, and abuse, Trump wrote the book on it. The toxic environment of the West Wing while he was president has been chronicled time and time again. His presidency unleashed an epidemic of schoolyard bullying, as well as a more serious one of racial and ethnic harassment and hate crimes. And if you want scandals, he leaves President Warren Harding, Republican, in the dust. From Trump hotels making a killing to trying to get Mar-a-Lago to host a G7 summit, to abusing the presidency to bully the leader of a foreign nation, Ukraine, into digging up dirt on a political opponent, to say nothing about politicizing science, which has led to thousands and thousands of needless COVID-19 deaths, and for which we are still paying the price.
I believe that was the blood on your hands when you were referring to the senator.
And it should be hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
And to say nothing of the biggest scandal of all, namely lying about his defeat in the 2020 election, attempting to suborn state officials into overturning the results. And when that didn't work, inciting an attack on the U.S. Capitol to prevent its legal certification. And where was Lee Zeldin during all this disgusting behavior? During this bullying, during this scandal and lying? The answer is that not once did he stand up to Trump and forthrightly demand that he stop. Instead, he appointed himself Trump's wingman in a crass pursuit of political brownie points. Right up to the bitter end, Zeldin was voting on the night of January 6th after the violent invasion of the Capitol by a Trump-inspired mob to empower Trump and overturn the certified results of the 2020 election in two states, thereby nullifying the votes of hundreds of thousands of ordinary citizens.
He doesn't believe in fair elections.
No, apparently not, except when it comes to him. When presented on a silver platter with an opportunity for once to show some magnanimity, okay, I'm going to have trouble with this word.
Magnanimousness.
That's not the word. Magnanimity. You know what?
Magnanimity.
Let's just say fortitude. That's probably bad. And civic leadership. What does Zeldin do? He angrily dashes the platter to the ground. I hope and pray Zeldin never becomes governor. All we would get from him is more chaos and bile. It would be far better if he would leave holding office altogether and pursue a career on cable news or talk radio. Oh, no, not a talk radio. Come on, we don't need this. Oh, for God's sake. What if he wound up doing a show on USB? He could do that. Yeah, we take just about anybody.
I don't know. Stiff competition for that kind of...
They put us on, whatever, for which he is far better suited and where his true vocation really lies. Thank you, David Friedman, for writing that letter to the Village Times and the Port Times and all the other Times that are out there. Well said, and I think quite accurate.
Good times.
Yeah. Scary times. Very scary times. I'd like to take a break, though, for a moment and go back to some not-so-scary times where basically I think we were... In a better place, except I can't figure out how to unminimize this window.
Should we talk to the engineering crew over there? I'll just, you know, I'll wave at them and say,
okay,
roll the tape.
Oh my God.
Roll now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here, as you know, we are every day releasing new audio. And what that means is we're going through our archives, or old tapes, some computer files, things like that, and finding all kinds of material, mostly from the 80s and 90s, that have just been gathering dust and that might or might not be of interest to people. And we've had quite a few. We started this, I think, on July 15th, and every single day since then, we have released something new every day. And recently, we released something which many people found to be pretty fascinating. Did you know that I was involved in an interview with the Ramones here on this radio station back in 1981, and I think it was February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1981. They were playing Stony Brook, and they came over to WUSB and just hung out with my colleague Bill Sankovic and myself, and it was great. It was just, we just, you know, talking about all sorts of things. Going to play a couple of minutes here on Off the Wall.
Then we'd have more real rock and roll.
Yeah. Do you think like any of these English bands, you know, with that heavy metal, like fast driving sound, had a large influence on you, or was it, you know, just
which some, ones?
I can't even think of any. Well, it was something like the Sex Pistols.
Well, they all came after us. I mean, they all saw us. I mean, we had our third album out before they any groups right. had their first. So we could.
You think you were like the trend? You know,
yeah, we definitely. I mean, we went over there and toured there in 4th July. 1976, and we were very big there right away when we were still playing for the 200 people in Manhattan, and we went there and played a place, and there was 2,000 people for us there, and we met all the kids from the Clash and the Damned, the Sex Pistols, and they were all starting bands that week, and they said, "Oh, we're, you know, big fans." And
you know what people don't realize is that in England, the music they were listening to at the time was pub rock. Dr. Feelgood was the big
rhythm
band
and blues.
Yeah, it was all rhythm and blues, right, you know? And, like, we were the only band anywhere doing what we were doing, you know? Yeah. Even in New York, you know, there was, at CBGB's at the time when we were playing there, it was Television, who were kind of a Velvet Underground kind of influence right. band, and Blondie, who at the time was doing kind of a Shangri-La's kind of thing, you know? So, you know.
I mean, it should be pretty obvious because, I mean, we have... a lot more albums.
Rolling about it. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Don't know the truth.
I mean, right. Their albums came out, you know, after our third and fourth albums came
well,
out.
Their whole music thing that was supposed to, like, socially oriented, though, you know, it was kind of a rebellion. Do you think, like, you know, like help them along.
Everybody's got different problems, different places. I mean, we already went through singing about things like that in the late 60s with the hippies.
Right.
And they sang about, you know,
Joan Baez.
Social conditions. I mean, we sang about teenage frustrations, which is the problems that we had, whatever, growing up. I think American kids could relate to growing up. It's hard to sing about the politics and the right to work. And, I mean, you know, it's not the problems in America.
Yeah. You think that's excuse me, why the British scene responded so much more? You had 2,000 people as opposed to 200 people here.
Yeah.
They seem much more open to
that. There's a different mentality over in
Europe. Well, they were looking for new things. And the average kid there is very much into music and knowing everything that's going on with music.
What do you mean by this different mentality?
There's a total awareness over there. I mean, they're looking for anything they can grasp onto that's new and different and exciting. You know? Whereas in America,
it's the same old stuff.
It's the same old stuff. Yeah. You know?
And it's also national press and national radio.
Progressive music.
And right. People rather hold on to what they got, you know, and not get into something new until they're kind of brainwashed or like, you know, it takes a while.
A lot of people don't want to change. But see, also the national press there, the New Musical Express and the Melody Maker, which is the major music paper, which is read by, like, every kid.
Yeah.
So once you just make one of those papers, then every kid in the whole country knows about
you. Smaller country, you know, too.
It's the size of the country.
Well, no one publication in America does everyone read.
Right.
Some people are into reading Cream, and some different whole type is into reading Rolling Stone,
The kids are definitely brainwashed in America by the radio. You know, I mean, the college stations are really the last hope America has. You know, but you know, the major stations, the Lee Abrams chains, and this and that. You know, it's a
marketing.
whole brainwashing process of a top 20 selection that's rotated on the hour. So all you hear is, you know, what you hear, you know.
Yeah.
It's just Aria mass Speedway. Communications.
Right, so Jackson,
you really don't have any chance of picking up on anything new unless you're kind of looking for it or, you know, it's available to you, you know.
But there are some stations and some last footholds.
I mean, some kids.
Some good stations, you know. But on the whole, it's, you know, they have to deal with the ratings. They have to deal with ratings. They have to deal with pushing mediocrity on people. Mm. And don't let anybody think. Just make everyone the same. Yeah. Make the music the same. Make all the whole audiences the same. It's the same way with the TV shows.
And do you think situation people...
Okay. Well, I could listen to this all day. But that was our Ramones interview from 1981, if you can believe that. Part of our Lost Audio project where we release a bit of audio. Some of it's really terrible. Some of it's really interesting. But it's all stuff that has not been released before. And you can hear today's segment and every day's segment because it's all there. You can download them at 2600.com/audio-segments or simply go to 2600.com and look for the news item about today's lost audio release or click on the little slide that comes across and says lost tapes. Very interesting stuff.
What they're saying is so right and spot on. I mean, it's maybe changing. I don't want to make a general, like, say a generalization would apply across the board in the music industry, but that consolidation and just those 20 top 20 being cycled into the consciousness, you know, generation after generation, those artists and those songs get packaged and produced and associated with brands or movies and products and you just are vehicles to sell other idea, you know, more maybe dare I say mainstream, sort of a narrow set of perspectives and more closely associated with more consumption than sort of a wider and lesser known, less managed queue of new music. And even at community stations, we strive to get as much new stuff in, and I think a lot of the DJs here reflect even on their own sets and say maybe I could do a little bit more of the new sort of obscure stuff. We're always our own worst critics. We love talking about, you know, classic rock and some of the, you know, mainstream rap or top top 40 stuff that's popular or so forth, but there is this brilliance in showing those real unique parts, or maybe the lesser known work of a more mainstream artist. But I just know that there's constantly an emphasis at this community station to just change it up and keep it so, so different in every regard. And we, you know, we're always looking for really interesting stuff that, mm-hmm. that no one's heard before, and making that what people associate with our station.
Right. Or if it's something that people have heard before, having them hear it in a different way, because as you said, there are all sorts of different angles that you can approach something from. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something obscure every single time, but at least listeners learn something. They don't just hear the same track and no comments, no inside information.
And it's just to trigger you to go buy something that song is associated with in some commercial somewhere.
Or to keep listening to the commercials that follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Well,
so true.
We have to take a break. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Hi.
Is what we would say. No, we will never say that, but it does roll easily off the tongue, I'll say that. But we do have some rather shocking news for people out there. Researchers have captured the moment where a lifelong vegetarian broke rank to eat meat. And what made this all the more horrifying was that it was a tortoise. A tortoise. It's one of those big land turtles.
Wow.
Scientists capture the moment. And the funny thing is, not that there's anything funny about this, but the funny thing is that this, I saw this on all different news feeds. Excuse me. I got this on CNN, but I also saw it on CNBC. Why is it on CNBC? That's a business channel.
Were they trying to get this tortoise to do this?
No, I don't think so. I think they just learned something. They captured the moment, the scientists, on video, when a Seychelles giant tortoise, previously thought to be vegetarian, attacked and ate a tern chick in what they say is the first documentation of deliberate hunting in any wild tortoise species. The headline is giant tortoise seen attacking and eating baby bird for first time in the wild in horrifying incident.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing, but there's just something about the way this story is being presented. This is completely unexpected behavior and has never been seen before in wild tortoises, said Justin Gerlach, director of studies at Peterhouse, Cambridge, and affiliated researcher at the University of Cambridge's Museum of Zoology. And this was a statement issued on Monday. The giant tortoise pursued the tern chick along a log, finally killing the chick and eating it. It was a very slow encounter, with the tortoise moving at its normal slow walking pace. The whole interaction took 7 minutes and was quite horrifying. Wow. Anna Zora, a conservation manager on Freegate Island and co-author of the study, captured the ordeal, which actually took place in July of 2020. Why are we only finding out about this now? For God's sake, there's tortoises going around eating baby birds, and we're only finding out about it a year and a month after it happens? I mean, this is kind of an emergency. Hello? When I saw the tortoise moving in a strange way, I sat and watched, and when I realized what it was doing, I started filming. Okay. You're perfect for today's society. Perfect, Anna. You're just, yeah, there with the camera. As soon as you realize what you're about to see. It's moving very deliberately. It's not just wandering about. It's looking at this turn, and it's walking straight at it, clearly intending to do something. That suggests to me that it's doing it with intent. It knows what it's doing. It's done this before. Though tortoises are thought to be vegetarian, they have been spotted opportunistically eating carrion, as well as bones and snail shells for calcium. It's quite common for herbivores to eat a bit of dead animal as a free protein source. When we hang out with vegetarians, we know that's true. This is the first video evidence of them deliberately killing in order to eat. Giant tortoises are the largest herbivores on the Galapagos and Seychelles Islands, and eat about up to 11% of the vegetation. The tortoise's behavior was unlikely to significantly affect tern populations, but needless to say, they are concerned, and they are teaching their young to move just a little bit faster. Giant tortoises, they have the taste of meat now.
You know, I was near a pond that had turtles, and I saw a duck mm-hmm. that had one leg.
Yeah, that was actually local. That was right here in the Sestalket area. There's a mill pond. You can walk around, look down on the water, and you see little turtle. What you see is you see their heads. You see a turtle head moving through the water, and there's a turtle attached to that. They're not that big, but some can get very big.
I had my suspicions before, but now this confirms, I think, what we knew at the time.
The really big turtles sometimes take down a duck or a goose that's just sitting there minding its own business, and you see them just sink through the water. As if they don't have enough to worry about. The one-legged duck might have a story to tell about that.
Be on the lookout, though. Check out if there's a park near you. Just double check. Make sure some of these birds aren't, making themselves targets and stuff.
Late breaking news. We have a new governor. Did you know that? It's a new governor. Did I already talk about this? Did we talk about this? It feels like we might have. But
Kathy,
you know,
Hochul.
What?
Yeah.
Kathy
governor,
Hochul. Yeah, that's Hochul. New governor of New York. Yeah, you heard about it. Yeah. Cuomo's out. Cuomo's gone.
Gone.
No more. And with his exit, basically some of his plans are being killed. Some of his plans are being changed. Some of his plans are being jump-started. Basically, Hochul is looking to put her own stamp on the office and set a new tone. And she'll be addressing some pressing issues. But one of them is marijuana legalization. Yeah. Getting back on track. Remember, marijuana was legalized.
Yeah, it is.
Not too long ago. But
it's legal in New York now.
Mario Cuomo, fighting for his political survival, had stalled on making appointments, and that has delayed the creating of regulations, which some say might delay the actual opening of legal marijuana market in New York. And she's looking to speed that up. So I think that is a good thing.
That's really, really encouraging, because there are it's got to happen. There are a lot of incredible willing, talented people that want to get into that industry and represent, you know, their state. And I'm really, really, really hopeful and excited for that. And I think it could help with bringing up a lot of communities that, you know, are trying to establish businesses, get back on their feet, and help people that are out there working, trying to make a living or run a household or recover from whatever injuries and so forth. This could be really beneficial.
She's also looking to extend the eviction moratorium. There's this plan to build all these skyscrapers around Penn Station, which would likely result in the destruction of our beloved Hotel Pennsylvania. She's not so in favor of that. This is a good thing. A lot of Cuomo's plans were not good. He did good things. There's no question about that. But a lot of them were not the best thought out. One of which was the air train to LaGuardia, which I still cannot figure out. It's only 1.5 miles long. Goes from LaGuardia Airport to Willets Point train station. How many times, Kyle, have you been to the Willets Point Long Island Railroad train station?
By choice?
I don't think you even know where it is. Most people don't.
I've not gotten the invite. No.
It's ridiculous. And people are supposed to either get on the 7 train and ride that 20 stops into New York City or hope that an LIRR train is going by there at some point. It's not Jamaica. And if you want to get to Jamaica or get to, say, an eastbound LIRR train, you have to do all kinds of geography to transfer to get in the right direction. Bad idea. Bad idea. You can do better. And let's hope that idea gets rethought.
Are they going to start digging under the bay up here and to Connecticut?
I don't think, well,
that train's coming in week?
Yeah, what's that called again? The super high-speed train I don't think there's much that the New York State Governor's Office says about that or can say about that. I think that's sort of a lot of states have to be involved. But I hope that happens. I hope that happens because there would be true high-speed rail in the Northeast. And there's all kinds of things that can be done. You know, progress. So it's a new era. It's a new time.
Yeah. Broadband, too.
Yeah.
It's more of that. That's, people are relying on that right now, getting business done, so.
We lost a giant in the world of rock and roll. Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones, the drummer for the Rolling Stones, was a legend, an icon. He was a vital cog in the Rolling Stones machine for almost 60 years. Imagine that, 60 years. He wasn't a founding member of the group because the Stones recruited him 1 year after their formation, after a whole bunch of drummers didn't fit their operation. But once they found him, they didn't need to look further. There were a lot of stories. I'm reading a webpage here, ferretmagazine.co.uk. Here's a story. Inebriated, Mick Jagger phoned Charlie Watts' hotel room in the middle of the night and asked him, "Where's my drummer?" Allegedly, Charlie Watts got up, shaved, donned a suit and tie, put on some freshly shined shoes, descended the hotel stairs, and punched Jagger in the face, proclaiming, "Don't ever call me your drummer again. You're my effing singer." That's style, folks. That is style. What we are going to do tonight is show his value by playing the drum track only from Sympathy for the Devil. And you can judge for yourself how amazing a piece this is. Mick Jagger said it has a very hypnotic groove, a samba, which has a tremendous hypnotic power, rather like good dance music. It doesn't speed up or slow down. It keeps this constant groove. Plus, the actual samba rhythm is a great one to sing on. And you might find yourself singing along to this. Still, it also has some suggestions in it, undercurrent of being primitive, because it is a primitive African, South American, Afro, whatever you call that rhythm. So to white people, it has a very sinister thing about it. Well, I guess we'll see. The Sound of Charlie Watts. We'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn.
See you later.
Good night.
Yeah, a little Rolling Stones rhythms right there. And, of course, you are listening to Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB, Stony Brook.